Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson, and I know I'm sounding a little like Lauren Bacall. This time around, we get to experience a new original show set in the 1600s in England. It's called Hemmings and Condell, and it's about two of the actors that were with Shakespeare. Here is part two, the conclusion to Hemmings and Condell.
Hide in the court.
Only for the money. We had no idea. Faithful to the queen. This is your statement, Mr. Phillips. On behalf of all your company?
Yes, my lord.
Then you are a liar as well as a traitor.
No, my lord.
You were part of the conspiracy against Her Majesty, were you not? All of you?
No, my lord. We knew of no conspiracy.
Then why perform the play, especially such an inflammatory play, the day before the rebellion?
As it says in my statement, my lord, we did it for the money. No other reason.
Well, you are a player, I suppose, and players are little more than whores. I can well believe that you would do anything for money. All right, Mr. Phillips. At the moment, there is no other evidence linking you and your company to the conspiracy. So for now, you are dismissed, pending further inquiries.
Oh, thank you, my lord. Thank you!
Very well. I have a message for you, Mr. Phillips.
For me, my lord?
That is what I said. There's no need to repeat it.
No, my lord. Sorry, my lord. Who is it from?
The Queen.
The Queen?
That is what I said. There is no need to repeat it.
Oh, my God!
I thought you'd be surprised.
Well, Augustine, what's the upshot?
The upshot is that we're not suspected of being part of the conspiracy.
You must have been a convincing witness, Augustine.
'Twas not me that convinced them, Will. 'Twas your testimony.
I'm pleased to hear it.
So they were persuaded by the money story?
Aye, as you thought they would be.
Good.
Thank God we players are of such low repute. They would never have believed us otherwise.
What is it, Augustine? Why do you still look so anxious?
Because we've received another commission.
What? From whom?
From the Queen!
Oh, what?
It's all in this note.
What is it, Will? What does it say?
It says Her Majesty desires that we perform for her.
What? When?
Tomorrow. The night before Southampton and Essex are executed.
What?
And what play?
Richard II.
What?
Complete with the dethroning scene.
I don't understand. Having banned it, why does the Queen want us to perform Richard II complete with the dethroning scene for her?
Because she wants revenge.
Revenge?
Aye. We will perform for her as we performed for the conspirators, and we will be killed, just like the conspirators.
They're all out there waiting for us, even the Queen herself.
We should have fled.
Where to? The Queen has spies all over England, all over Europe. She would find us wherever we went.
Besides, if we ran away, it would only confirm their suspicions.
Exactly. We must go on.
I suppose we must.
I wasted time, and now time, and I wasted time, and now doth time waste me.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you. And apologize to you.
What for, Will? You owe us no apology.
Nor explanation.
I do. Unwittingly, perhaps carelessly, I have led us all to this point, and if my fears are proved correct,
quiet, then... Will!
What?
For once, you must be quiet.
Aye. Say nothing.
Why?
For one thing, we are about to go on stage and must concentrate our minds. For another, you owe us nothing, and certainly not an apology.
I do.
No, you don't. As I've said before, 'tis we who owe you. Our careers, our lives.
If we lose them now, well, at least we have something to lose. Before, we had nothing, or next to nothing.
That's right. Without you, Will, we'd all still be tiling walls, or thatching roofs, or selling fruit.
Or fish.
While waiting for a chance to act. Instead, here we are, about to perform for the Queen of England herself. That's something a mere grocer...
or fishmonger...
could only dream of. Take your positions, men.
And now time doth waste me.
Tonight's performance is a very special one. It may even be our last performance together. So let us make it a memorable one.
One fit for a queen.
You always have to have the last word, don't you?
Tonight I do.
Good luck.
Old John Gaunt, time-honored Lancaster, hast thou, according to thy oath and bond, brought hither Henry Hereford, thy bold son? For God's sake, let us sit upon the ground and tell sad stories of the death of kings, how some have been deposed, some slain in war, some haunted by the ghosts they have deposed, some poisoned by their wives, some sleeping killed, all murdered.
Henry, sorry.
Though within the hollow crown that rounds the mortal temples of a king, keeps death his court.
I'll make a voyage to the Holy Land to wash this blood off from my guilty hand, march sadly after.
Well?
Well, what?
Did she like it?
Honestly, Richard, you and your ego, how could that possibly matter now?
Because if she liked it, she may not kill us. That's why.
She liked it.
And because she likes it, everyone else has to as well.
For God's sake, don't keep her waiting. Get back on stage for your bow.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, of course.
Master Shakespeare.
Your Majesty.
Come here.
Your Majesty.
Closer. Beside my ear. Fortunately for you, Master Shakespeare, I am a great admirer of your work.
Thank you, Your Majesty. You are too kind.
I know. I enjoyed the play, Master Shakespeare, but you must never perform it again with the dethroning scene while I am alive. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Majesty, of course.
Good. And one final thing.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I am Richard II. Know ye not that?
No, Your Majesty. I did not know.
Well, I am. Essex thought he was Bolingbroke, the rebel who stole a crown, but I am Richard II. You may go.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Thank you.
What did she say to you?
She said she enjoyed the play.
Yes?
But we are not to perform it again with the dethroning scene while she is alive.
Yes.
And then she said, I am Richard II. Know ye not that?
What? What did she mean?
I don't know, and I certainly wasn't going to ask. Now I suggest that we all exit immediately before she changes her mind and has us killed after all.
Agreed.
Thank you.
the night air ne'er smelled so sweet.
Indeed.
Even I cannot find words to describe it.
Evening.
Good evening.
Was that a gallows they were carrying?
Yes, or at least the component parts.
They're obviously building it for Essex.
Aye, and Southampton.
But why here? Why not the tower?
Obviously, this is another show that the Queen wants to see for herself.
You know, Will, this would be fitting subject matter for a play.
What would?
This night, this whole story.
Not in our lifetime.
And certainly not the Queen's.
True. But it is a great story. It has everything. Treason, rebellion, and most important, majesty.
'Tis a plot more fanciful than any I wrote.
Did you greet the ambassador?
Yes.
And give him a tour of the theater?
Oh, of course. By now, I can do it in my sleep.
Patience, Henry. It's a small price to pay to keep in the king's favor. After all, he is our patron.
I know. I'm sorry.
How things change. 10 years ago, under Elizabeth, we almost lost our heads. Now, under James, everyone wants to shake our hands.
They don't want to shake our hands. Just Will's. Der hand that wrote Hamlet, Macbeth, und Lear. The ambassador would like to meet you afterwards, Will.
Don't they all?
Will?
Don't worry, I will be at my most servile.
Good. Are you ready to go on?
After all this time, John, do you really need to ask me that?
No, I suppose not.
Good, then don't.
John, I think he's had enough of performing.
What? No, he'd never stop performing. He loves it too much.
We'll see.
Think ye see the very persons of our noble story as they were living. Think you see them great and followed with the general throng and sweat of 1,000 friends. Then, in a moment, see how soon this mightiness meets misery. And if you can be merry then, I'll say a man may weep upon his wedding day.
Well, it's good to see and hear that you've still got the old magic.
It's not magic, it's hard work.
I told you, he's had enough of performing.
There's fresher air, my lord, in the next chamber.
Lead in your ladies, everyone.
That damn cannon will make us all deaf.
Well, it might do more than that.
What?
Look!
Where?
The roof.
Oh my God, it's on fire!
The whole place will go up. We've got to get everyone out immediately.
What's going on?
The roof's on fire.
What?
We've got to get out, and we've got to get the audience out, too, before they're burned alive. It must have been a stray piece of paper from the cannon that started it.
At least nobody was killed.
Only our hopes and dreams.
We'll rebuild it.
We will?
Of course we will. We've already rebuilt it once after we carted it across the river.
We were young then.
You're still young, at least in spirit.
I'm not. I'm old, in body and spirit.
By the time we're finished, it will be bigger, better, and most importantly, safer.
We can get a tiled roof.
Good idea. And no more cannons.
Oh, definitely no more cannons.
And while the rebuilding's going on, we can negotiate a temporary lease at the Curtain or the Swan, just like we did when we first arrived here. We'll survive this. We've survived worse.
No.
What's wrong, Will? What is it?
I can't do it.
Do what?
Just survive. I'm tired of just surviving. I want to live. That's why I'm retiring.
What?
You heard me.
You're retiring from the stage?
Yes.
I knew it. I knew you'd had enough of performing.
No, it's understandable, Will. I imagine you just want to concentrate on writing now.
No, I'm retiring from the stage completely.
What? Why?
Because I want to go home. My family are in Warwickshire, and I want to see them again, and live with them again, before they forget me completely, if they haven't already.
You want to leave now?
I know the timing is not ideal.
I'll say.
But I've been thinking about it for a while. The fire just confirmed that it's the right thing to do.
But now!
Don't worry, I won't go immediately. I'll wait until the globe's rebuilt before I return to Stratford.
Well, I mean, that's something, I suppose.
But how would we survive without you, Will?
You don't need me, just my plays. And you can keep those.
Really?
Yes, of course. They belong to the company, not me.
What do you think, Henry?
Well, you and I already run the company. No offense, Will.
None taken. It's true, you do run it.
As long as we have the plays, we'll be all right.
You'll manage. I have no doubt of it. After all, you've always looked after me, not the other way around.
That's true.
I owe it all to you. With your ability to run a company, John, and your mastery of money, Henry, and with Richard continuing as your Hamlet, Lear, Macbeth...
And don't forget Othello.
You'll make a fortune, and you'll only have to share it three ways, not four. So what do you think? Will you buy my share in the company? At a reduced price, of course, to help pay for the rebuilding.
Well, can we afford to pay him for that?
We will.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, thank you all.
On strict condition that you don't go until we've finished rebuilding.
Of course. I've already said that.
And that you oversee any new writers we have to employ.
I'll rewrite them if necessary. Oh, it's all yours, gentlemen. The globe is yours.
Will Shakespeare may no longer work here, but this is still his play and his theater, so you will say his words, not your own. Do you understand?
Yes, Mr. Hemmings. Sorry, Mr. Hemmings.
Good. Now try it again. Honestly, actors today have no respect for an author's words.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief.
I have a letter for you, Mr. Condell, from Stratford.
Oh, good, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
It'll be from Will, explaining why he didn't come to London last month.
I hope he has a good excuse.
Oh, my God!
What is it?
It's Will!
What's wrong with him? Is he ill?
No, he's dead.
What? Dead?
Yes.
This guy, Mr.
Shakespeare. Oh. Thank you, gentlemen. You can set him down here. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in memory of William Shakespeare, late of this parish.
Apparently he will be buried directly in front of the altar.
That's appropriate.
How so?
Well, he always enjoyed being center stage.
I still can't believe it.
I know, I can't either. Less than 2 months ago, we were sitting here celebrating his daughter's wedding.
It's not right.
What isn't?
The cause of death. Will survived fire, ice, plague, even becoming involved in a plot against the Queen. And then, finally, a fever finishes him off.
I know. It is not a fitting end. Seven, 38, 39.
I'll never get used to wearing a mourning ring. I've been wearing it for months now, but it still makes me shudder every time I look at it, and it doesn't even fit. Last week when I tried to hail a fellow in the street, it nearly flew off. Oh, if I'd lost it, I'd have nothing to remember Will by.
Tut, tut. Here's a list of the props we need. And here's the money to buy them. So would you please stop complaining about wills and rings and Will's rings long enough to do some work? After all, we still have a theater to run.
Yes, Henry. Of course, Henry. Forgive me for mourning, Henry.
Good day, sir. How may I help you?
I would like to see a copy of Ben Jonson's works, please.
Excellent choice, sir. Allow me to show you one.
It's heavy.
You don't have to tell me, sir. I'm the one who has to cart them about. It's only just been published.
Really?
Oh, yes. And it says on the magnificent leather frontispiece, it contains all his plays from The Alchemist to Volpone. It is a remarkable book, sir. Historic, even.
Really? How so?
It is the first collection of plays by an English playwright. Did you know, sir, that, incredible as it sounds, there is no law of ownership or possession for playwrights?
Is that so?
It is. That's why most playwrights never publish their plays, because if they did, every other theatrical company in London would simply buy a copy and put on a production of their own.
Really? How remarkable.
The only copies of plays that were ever printed were unauthorized copies that were printed without the consent of their authors. Apparently, some printers resorted to bribing individual actors to regurgitate what they could remember of a play.
I imagine such copies must have been of poor quality.
They were terrible! They always read as if someone had reconstructed the play from memory and in the process forgotten half the lines. That's why Mr. Jonson was so anxious to publish his own plays himself, to preserve them for posterity in all their glory. I think you'll agree that he's done a fine job.
He has.
His collection of plays confirms his reputation as the preeminent English playwright.
Preeminent?
Indeed.
But what about Shakespeare?
Who?
William Shakespeare.
Oh, him! He hardly ranks alongside Mr. Jonson. Granted, he had a certain populist touch that allowed him to entertain the masses, but he lacked Mr. Jonson's rigorous classicism.
Do you have any of his plays?
Who, Shakespeare?
Yes.
Well, I may have something, but as I've explained, it almost certainly won't be of high quality.
That's all right. I'd still like to see it.
Aha! I knew I had something.
What is it?
This.
Oh, my God.
Two, three, four. Oh, my God. What on earth are you doing, creeping up behind me like an assassin and then dropping a bomb on my desk?
It's not a bomb.
Might as well have been, given the damage it's caused.
It's a book.
A book?
Yes.
Why are you throwing books around?
Well, read the front cover. Or, should I say, the magnificent leather frontispiece, and you'll see why.
What?
Read it.
The works of Benjamin Jonson.
Big, isn't it?
Enormous.
I suppose it has to be to accommodate all of Jonson's plays and his massive self-worth. Apparently it confirms his reputation as the preeminent English playwright.
What?
That's how he's being described.
But Will was an infinitely better writer.
I know that. We both know that. Anyone who's ever seen a Jonson play knows that. But will future generations? By contrast with Jonson's works, this is what will remain of Shakespeare.
What is it?
See for yourself.
A Tragical History of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark by William Shakespeare.
At the stall where I bought Johnson's book, that was all they had of Will's work. Read it.
What?
I have. In fact, allow me to read it to you, or at least some prize extracts. Oh, that this too sullied flesh should melt.
Ouch.
The play's the thing wherein we'll catch the king and queen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and best, or rather worst, of all. To be or not to be, aye, there's the point.
What?
If they can't get that right, they won't get anything right. I can't bear it. After all we went through together. Building the globe, rebuilding it after it burned down, surviving the plot against the queen, this trash and trash like it is all that will survive of Shakespeare. That's why we have to print the plays ourselves.
What?
Why not? If Johnson can print all of his plays, why can't we print all of Will's?
But because we don't even have copies of some of Will's plays, especially the early ones.
What? Why not?
Well, they may have been destroyed in a fire or just lost over time, most likely when we moved theaters. As for the plays, we do have copies of them. Most of them are just old prompt books.
So?
So they've been scribbled on and scribbled on by successive prompters until they're virtually illegible.
Illegible?
Aye. Will could decipher them, but we can't. While he was still alive, it didn't matter. If we had any queries about a play, especially an old one, we could just ask him, even if we had to wait until he visited London or we visited Stratford. But now, well, we can't ask him.
I'm sure that, given time, we could decipher these prompt books and prepare them for publication.
Are you joking?
No, of course not.
It would take an age. Well, years at least. Especially when we've still got a theater to run.
So? What are a few years compared to immortality?
Whose immortality? His or ours?
Why, his, of course.
The truth is that over the years, we've probably paid more attention to preserving the company's props and costumes than we have Will's plays. Now, the best that we can do is print those plays we have fair copies of, which is about half of them.
Half?
Well, that's still about 20 or so.
It's not enough. Half a Shakespeare is no Shakespeare at all. Half a Shakespeare is a Johnson or a Marlowe. We have to show the whole man, to show what one man is capable of. We have to do it.
Do what?
Print the plays. All the plays, with all the right words.
Are you mad? I just told you. We don't even have copies of some of the plays.
Then we'll find them. They must exist somewhere.
And where exactly do you propose looking for them?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Everywhere he ever lived. Everywhere he ever worked. And most importantly, everywhere he ever drank. And laid his head, or any other part of his anatomy. Then, when we found the missing plays, we'll check all the plays to make sure that nothing has been added or omitted.
How do you propose doing that?
By gathering together all the actors who ever appeared in a Shakespeare play, or at least those who are still alive, and going through their parts with them line by line to make sure that they're correct. And some of the actors would also have been employed as bookholders or prompters, so we can get them to go through the prompt books to decipher all the notes and stage directions that have been added over the years. And of course, there is one actor who knows the plays, or at least the title roles, almost as well as Will himself. After all, Burbage always thought that they were his plays, not Will's.
Typical actor.
Finally, we just have to find someone to write a dedication. And who better than England's greatest living playwright?
So that's it.
It's wonderful, Ben.
Yes, especially the line, he was not of an age, but for all time.
I suspect it's what I'll be best remembered for. I ought to have written a dedication in honor of you two.
What do you mean?
Well, Will may have written the plays, but you're the ones who found them, edited them, and then prepared them for publication.
Nah, it wasn't that difficult.
Oh, not once we got started.
Gentlemen, you amaze me.
How so?
You make light of what you've done, but the truth is that most men wouldn't spend so much time, money, and effort publishing their own plays, let alone someone else's. I can't imagine that anyone would do it for me. So why did you do it for Will?
Before we met Will, we were part-time actors, struggling to make a living.
Now we are part owners of the greatest theater company in England.
Nay, the world!
This was the least we could do for him.
I suppose so.
The title page is ready. Would you like to see it?
Of course.
But we don't want to leave anything to chance. Not now.
All right. There you go.
Mr. William Shakespeare's Comedies, Histories, and Tragedies, published according to the true original copies.
Oh, there's no need to read it out loud.
Oh, no, sorry.
You forgot the date.
Today's date?
No, just the year, 1623.
Sorry, I'll add it right now.
Seven years from start to finish.
I know. I could hardly forget.
Still, what are a few years? Even seven compared with immortality.
Nothing at all, John. Nothing at all.
Listening to American Radio Theater's production of Hemmings and Condell, written by Martin Keady. I'm Holly Chaffin, your director and announcer. Our production was produced by Joy Jackson with technical assistance from Ron Ailey. It was recorded at Jack Straw Recording Studios with Daniel Gunther, engineer. In our cast, you heard Chuck Royalty as John Hemmings, Dan Schindler as Henry Condell, Ivan Curry as Richard Burbage and actor Bryant, Dave Leese as William Shakespeare. Other roles were portrayed by our cast, which includes Beth Schlansky, Mary Moore Campagna, Pat McNally, Chad Rinney, Bob Perks, Anne-Marie Wheeler, Michael Royalty, Mike Wheeler, and Greg Porter. Live sound effects were created by Marilyn Wilt. Music is courtesy of Chad Rinney. If you enjoyed this show, we encourage you to visit our webpage at AmericanRadioTheater.org and click the podcast button for a listing of many other lost episodes of radio's golden age, as well as contemporary original pieces. We also encourage you to make generous use of the donate button to help us to continue bringing shows to you. Thank you for listening. This is ART. American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio. And here is Jubilee.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. I think that I shall never see a show at the top old Jubilee! Within this package, we point to lovely Jean Louise, those blazing Hollywood Four Blazers, Corky Corcoran, and that great new band with the king of the keyboard right at hand, Ike Carpenter and his orchestra. Thank you very much indeed, Ike Carpenter and the gentlemen of the ensemble. That was Out of Nowhere, which is exactly where we're going right here and now. Well, we got to keep the burla hot on this movie special called Jubilee, so that means a little mess of cards from four happy gentlemen who call themselves the Hollywood Four Blazers. And here they are right now. Henry Turkey, Ulysses Livingston, George Crawford, and LeGrand Mason with a couple of lolly tunes. Gentlemen, mess around. Mess around.
You see, we got the finest chick in the land. And she just don't want no other man. Listen. You better get help to that fanny chick. Because she's been around and she's also slick. She's been bragging about the chick. But from what I saw last night, you better watch yourself, bub. And your face is the type that you'd like for your wife. But from what I saw last night, you better watch yourself, bub. You send her roses twice a week, and all you get is a pick on the street. Get help to yourself, tell her there will be some messengers and name it says. Get you to pay, and you think you ain't that guy anyway. But from what I saw last night, you better watch yourself, bud. There will be some messengers on the chest. Get your weekly pay and you think you hate that guy anyway. But from what I saw last night, you better watch yourself, bub. From what I saw last night, I know it wasn't right. They turned out all the lights. You better watch yourself, bub. Thank you.
Why, there'll be more from the Four Blazers in just a moment or two. Thank you, Four Blazers. That was simply great. Little ditties right in there called Better Watch Yourself and then Hilltime Special. Well, along about this time, we'd like to bring on the beauty part of Jubilee. Beside me, that is. She's not only that in a cute way, but she can sing and cook and so too. Put all those things together and add a few more, and that sums up very neatly and sweetly, lovely Jean Louise. Jane, what are you cooking up for the gang tonight?
It's a fine ballad, Gene, a thing I like very much. And I want to dedicate it to a bunch of fellas standing by in Hawaii.
Well, tell us more, Gail.
It's called Happiness is a Thing Called Joe. And with some measures from the band, and I'll turn this to Mr. Ark on the keys, here it is.
Thank you, Jane. Jean Louise, looking real pert and sassy, but lively with the bounce in her song. Friends, do you lack brim, vigor, vitality? Does walking upstairs exhaust you? Are you deficient in stamina? Well, then lean back and let the boys on the stand start beating the band. Here comes Ike Carpenter and crew with vitamins A, B, C, and D on Just You, Just Me.
Thank you.
That was neat as a little, hot as a griddle. Well, what have we here? It's the tenor man in the band sliding into the mic with a Chicago White Sox uniform on. Hey, it's Corky Cochran, safe at home.
Hiya, gang. Hello, Gene.
Hey, Corky, what's the idea of the baseball uniform? This isn't that kind of a playground. This is Jubilee, man.
Didn't you know? I've been training with the Chicago White Sox here in Pasadena, Brookside Park. Killing myself, man.
So, you're a ball player, huh?
Yeah, I used to try to knock out line drives before I started trying to knock out miss on tennis.
Corky, let's see what you can score right here and now on Jubilee. Then we're going to bat out some scat that may be too hot to handle. So, tell your outfielders to move on back, because Corky Cochran is swinging his center pipe along with the rhythm section in the dugout. Here comes the pitch, and it's Corky Stomp followed by the Talk of the Town.
Thank you.
Shortland, a tenor saxophone with Corky Stop, and then it's the talk of the town. And believe me, it will be the talk of the town. Well, it seems that everyone has had his or her turn out here on the fine musical stage of Jubilee, so it's time to unveil the last fancy fortissimo, which means, of course, the lights are out now. It's time to call the law for Ike Carpenter and the Brant to give the whistle and take the A-Train.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye. Thank you.